The forecast today going to be cloudy, chance for some showers, maybe thunderstorms, and a high near 80. The site in southeast Wisconsin hasn't been officially announced yet. The state legislature has yet to vote on it. But the Department of Natural Resources has a project manager on board to oversee the expected streamlined environmental permitting process connected to the proposed Foxconn manufacturing plant. Agency Secretary Kathy Stepp telling the DNR board that her agency has the staff and the ability to take on a project of this magnitude.
It is a gift to us to have the confidence of the company to understand that we're here to work with them in partnership again to protect and enhance the environment and still have job creation.
The project superintendent, Eric Ebersberger, a former DNR deputy administrator for environmental management. He led the successful effort to divert Lake Michigan water to Waukesha, left the department last year, came back this week as a limited-term employee. Meanwhile, state lawmakers planning to vote next week on the legislation to provide the Taiwanese company with that $3 billion incentive package. But Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says he doesn't have the votes yet to approve that incentive plan. The suspect in a Racine homicide from back in May was in court yesterday. 26-year-old Dominique Knight charged with first-degree intentional homicide, as well as possession of a firearm by a felon. He was named as a suspect in the death of Harry Kennedy. He was shot while outside of a home on North Memorial Drive. Bond is $500,000 cash. Knight's preliminary hearing is next week. So far, 7 arrests made in what the Racine County Sheriff's Office dubbed Operation Lifesaver, rounding up a total of 9 members of an alleged heroin distribution ring operating in the city of Racine. Sheriff Christopher Schmaling says Operation Lifesaver started in May. There were 30 heroin buys from alleged members of the ring, including undercover confidential informants.
Very much like law enforcement works together collectively to build cases on individuals, working with our district attorney, working with Human Services Department to build strong cases. These individuals are all working collectively together with one common goal. And make no mistake, it's about making money for these individuals. They feed the habits of addicts who are trapped in uncontrollable cravings of addiction. That's what they're all about. They create the next round of addicts who are not informed about the real dangers of opiates.
Several of the suspects, including both men and women living across the city, were in court yesterday. Medical examiner Mike Payne pointed out that the county is averaging about one opioid overdose death a week. Kenosha Police Department identifies the teenager who drowned in Lake Michigan Monday evening after jumping into the harbor. 18-year-old Joshua Conato, according to his obituary, had just graduated Lakeview Technology Academy in June and was looking toward becoming a firefighter. His funeral service is Saturday. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help with Conato's funeral expenses. They haven't been made in Racine for decades, but the popularity of Little Golden Books, started by Western Publishing back in 1942, was evident with the 75th anniversary celebration event in the parking lot behind Memorial Hall next to the library and the appearance of the Little Golden Bus, which is touring the country.
We gave away 300 tote bags by 2:30. They started lining up at 1 o'clock. There were a lot of people here. There were a lot of people in line who had worked here for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 46 years, 52 years. And they were having like old home week, talking with people that they recognize and remembering old times.
City librarian Jessica McPhail telling WRJN News that the Golden Book phenomenon has continued over generations, and with no sign of losing popularity, they're still being published by Random House Children's Books. She notes they're going to have some additional Golden Book-related appearances in October that'll involve some authors and a guest speaker talking about collecting.
We have authors coming in October of Little Golden Books, and also Leonard Marcus is the author of Collecting Golden Books. We're kind of excited about that. That'll be in October. And we've had people come in who brought their first Golden Books with them. In fact, there was a lady here who wanted us to autograph her book. Isn't that sweet?
Part of the Golden Books event, the appearance of the Pokey Little Puppy character posing for lots of pictures with kids and adults. The Racine County Economic Development Corporation announcing Johnson Health Tech North America planning to relocate its South Milwaukee manufacturing operations to Racine County's Grandview Business Park and a 200,000-square-foot facility which it will lease. Johnson Health Tech makes fitness equipment and did consider other locations before deciding on the site in Yorkville. Full staffing will be around 75 employees. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave in a news release statement calls Johnson Health Tech a great example of a growing company that found increased value in Racine County. Ironically, Health Tech's global management headquarters is located in Taiwan. The proposed extension of a runway at Kenosha Regional Airport having an effect on proposed expansion of Highway S, which runs along the north side of the airport property. The Kenosha City Council this week increased the funding in the capital improvement program for the airport project, which includes acquiring property owned by Alderman Jesse Downing. Now, City Administrator Frank Bassetti explained that the city is seeking a grant from the Bureau of Aeronautics for reimbursement, but says he's not really sure just how much that will be.
And whether or not it'll be 80-10 money, where 80% will be refunded, or 90-10, where 90% will be refunded. We have a very strong basis to believe that we will either get 80-20 or 90-10 money based on our conversations with the BOA, which we've been in constant contact with for this project.
He said the amount in the CIP was increased because of the additional work required on the project.
The types of studies, the types of reports that have to be done, or you will not be eligible for reimbursement, turned out to be more expensive than we thought.
Meanwhile, the Kenosha County Public Works Department still studying the alternatives for expanding Highway S. Due to development in the area, it's become a major artery into the city from the interstate. A preferred alternative for reconstruction and widening of the roadway to four lanes has not yet been approved because of the proposed airport expansion. Now, a public involvement meeting on the status of Highway S, that project could be scheduled yet this fall. Racine-based Modine Manufacturing Company launching an underwritten public offering of 5 million shares of common stock. Underwriters will also be provided a 30-day option to buy another 750,000 shares. A news release indicates the net proceeds will pay down outstanding indebtedness. Racine City Attorney's Office been working on a revised version of the nuisance ordinance, which came into play in the recent Riverside Inn case. The new sections were run by the Public Safety and Licensing Committee. Assistant City Attorney Nutran said it came about after discussion with the police department. Said the nuisance property would qualify with three or more confirmed calls in a 90-day period, but with police discretion. It would not require an arrest nor any charges be brought. Meanwhile, the process, according to Tran, officially starts with a citizen complaining about a property to the police department.
When the police department is determining whether this is a nuisance premise, they would pull the report under that specific address to see how many calls they've received and what the calls are for, whether they're substantiated. There is an appeal section in place, which was not in the last one, and that just, it's a standard appeal section that allows these things to be appealed to a committee.
Alderman Jeff Coe chairs the panel. He hopes that the new language will also give police more discretion to take needed action against problem sites.
So it's still at the discretion of the police chief rather to declare this, because some of the time we've had problems is we just don't seem to get anybody to declare these properties a nuisance property. And
so,
I'm just trying to, we had one on Boyd Avenue and it took a girl getting her kneecap shot off to get it a nuisance property. I just don't want to go through that with these properties anymore.
Committee discussion included concerns about enforcement and public information. One interested audience member represented the Riverwood Condo Association, which is near the Riverside Inn. The ordinance revisions filter through the council, back to committee for any other changes, then go back to the council for public input and a final vote. And a 72-year-old Kenosha County man, John Tillman, who used to live in Sturtevant and was on the village board for a short time, pleads guilty to the repeated sexual assault of an 8-year-old girl. He'll be sentenced September the 15th, could get up to 60 years in prison. Tillman had been banished from Wisconsin with a 2011 Racine County case that involved improper conduct with teenage girls. Court records show the assault of the 8-year-old occurred between September of 2015 and March of this year. To increase the number of people owning a home in Racine, S.C. Johnson donated $7,500 to Housing Resources Incorporated. It's a nonprofit that provides education and support to homebuyers. The company's desire to support the continued availability of home ownership courses that will assist residents in pursuing their goals. Last year, 251 Racine residents took the HomeWorks for Homebuyers education courses. That, along with the one-on-one counseling, helped 66 individuals and families get the resources to move forward with buying a home. Mary Beth Aldrich, Racine Program Manager for Housing Resources Incorporated, says the support of SCJ will help their organization provide the families with necessary information for improving their lives through ownership of a home, also improving the community in the process. Two former restaurant sites in Racine targeted to come alive with new uses. One is kind of food-related, the other involves kids, both under recommended approval by the City Plan Commission. 1701 12th Street used to be the J&W Drive-In. It closed years ago. It'll become a food pantry and eventually a community outreach facility. That according to Pastor Lynn Nyes, Director of Giving to the Nations Incorporated.
That area is considered a desert area. It doesn't have the fresh fruits, the fresh vegetables readily available. And the nice thing about this location also is it's a block off public transportation. It's on a corner, so we have easy access in and out. It's got a huge parking area. And that's our goal, is to be one of those healthy food providers that are not in that area.
Pastor Nyes adding that their goal is to be open by around October. City conditions include either repairing or resurfacing the parking lot. 1816 16th Street is in the northeast corner of 16th and Phillips. It used to be Dino's Italian Village Restaurant. It's planned as a daycare for about 60 to 85 kids, according to architect Bill Morris.
The owner has a great deal of kind of involvement in the neighborhood. He has a small store in the area as well. He certainly meets with a lot of different people and hears the different requests, as well as the desire by some of the local people who would be looking for the appropriate training and education and everything else to hopefully long-term help and assistance of the running of the facility and hopefully make it just a positive attribute to the neighborhood and a success.
Alderman John Tate II suggested, though, it's a challenging area given the high traffic count and the liquor availability nearby. Both conditional use requests were unanimously supported, the recommendations going to the Common Council next week. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester has been elected the Vice President of the National Conference of State Legislatures. It's a bipartisan organization that serves the nation's 7,300-plus state lawmakers and legislative staff. Voss getting the honor at the NCSL's Legislative Summit in Boston. He'll serve 1 year as the Vice President, become the President-elect the following year, and then in 2019 become the President of the Legislative Summit. NCSL leadership, by the way, alternates between parties every year. Would you believe Midwest Express Airlines might be making a comeback? The main hub, of course, was in Milwaukee before it folded in 2009, purchased by Republic Airways Holdings of Indianapolis, then merged with Frontier Airlines. A group that included at least one former employee has now launched a website with plans to revive the carrier. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the group has been looking around town for investors for the past few weeks. And in the city of Kenosha, Happenings Magazine teaming up with the city to present the movie Secret Life of Pets at dusk tomorrow at Lincoln Park, which is on 18th Avenue. It's a family-friendly movie, free to go see. Added bonus, there'll be free ice cream while the supplies last. Servings begin at 7:30 that night. It's free ice cream courtesy of the University of Wisconsin Alumni Association. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.